Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is November 3rd, 2017, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast today. I'm joined by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday to you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking.
We're a step closer to Christmas.
We are. You know, as soon as Halloween was over, I saw
right.
Christmas commercials are coming. Hey, you know, I was thinking about what do we talk about today on the podcast, and a lot of the markets are pretty quiet. I don't know. What should we do?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that same thing. And thinking about this, I actually thought back to being a kid, and my grandparents would take me fishing, and we go on these long drives to get to these lakes. And when you did that, you basically had three things to do to keep yourself entertained. You could either harass your little sister, which was always fun for me.
I'm sure you did a lot of that.
I did plenty of that. She's still paying me back for that, by the way. You could listen to the CB radio. I'm telling my age there. there's a lot of kids today who have no idea what a CB radio is. And I would strongly recommend for parents not to do that on a long car trip these days. No telling what you would run into. Or, which was probably the most popular thing to keep us entertained in the car, we turn on an AM radio station, and the show used to play 20 questions. So I was thinking, maybe we should do 10 questions on the market and just kind of get some ideas on what our thoughts are as far as those market conditions are concerned. What do you think?
That sounds like a great idea. But, you know, number one is I'll do it. Sure. Let's do it. But here's the other thing is I'm a consultant. So how do I keep these answers quick, or what do you want me to do?
Yeah, let's try to make them yes or no with a brief, very brief explanation of why, if it warrants it. Sound good?
I can dig it. Why don't I start with you?
Okay, perfect. Let's go.
Since it's your idea, but okay. How about this? Will the corn crop get larger in the upcoming WASDE report?
Ooh, good question. You know, I'm going to go contrary with what I might necessarily think there. And I will say, yes, we're probably going to see a minimal increase to the yield number in this upcoming WASDE for corn.
Okay.
That's risky.
All right.
That's risky, but that's where I'm going with it.
We're recording this, so we'll play it back next week.
My turn for a question for you.
All right.
I know you follow the cocoa markets.
Yep.
So will strong cocoa butter prices that we're seeing today eventually pressure cocoa powder pricing?
Well, I'm going to answer it in a way that you're probably, I'm going to say no, because they already have.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, the expectation is cocoa butter prices will eventually start trending down and powder prices trend up. So I'm going to say no, because it's already been done.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Good answer.
Your turn. How about this?
Yeah, give me a question.
Will the soybean crop get smaller?
Ooh, another tough one. Okay, so with answering this one, I'm going to go the other direction. And I'll say that, no, the soybean crop is not going to get smaller, even though I think a fair share of the market believes it is. I want to be the contrarian on this Friday, so I'll say no.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you who won the World Series, because you already know that.
All right. Question for you.
Okay.
Question for you.
Go ahead.
Sugar prices have been coming up. Increasing a bit since the suspension agreements were amended. I think we've all seen that. Question is, will the harvest of beet and cane bring any relief to pricing?
Yes, but if it does, it'll be minimal. And I'll tell you why. I mean, we saw, the as we reported last week, the beet crop is looking better in certain areas, so they're going to have more to market, right? But the downside, if any, is going to be limited because most of the industrial business is contracted and the beets are heavily committed. And you look at the number 16 market, 2675-ish, and that's really the level, soft floor, that prices out Mexican raws into the United States.
Very true. Very, very true.
All right.
Good answer. Long one, but good answer.
Sorry. All right, your turn. Which futures market will most likely fall in the next month?
Okay, I'm going to connect this to my earlier statement about the soybean crop. And I will say the futures market most likely to fall in the next month is soybeans.
Okay.
How not soybean oil.
Soybeans.
I need to qualify that statement. Not soybean oil, but soybeans.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. What do you got for me?
Okay. Well, I'll just ask the opposite there. Which futures market do you think is most likely to rise in the next month?
Oh, man. I'm going to go cocoa. And I'm going to say cocoa because funds are net, or the specs are net short. And they love cocoa and they have a good potential to get right back in there and can drive the market up 200 to 300 points. So we've been hanging around the 2000s for a while and we saw some relief this week, but I think even going into a crop that looks good, if anything scares the market, those guys will jump in.
You never know what the speculators are going to do.
Yep.
Totally agree with you.
All right.
Okay.
Your turn. How about stay with the oil theme that you just mentioned? Tropical oils has pricing hit its seasonal lows?
I am going to go with a yes on that.
Okay.
And I say that not strictly from the standpoint of production at origin, because it's certainly looked better. Coconut oil prices have retreated a bit. PKO's going up a little bit, palm's going up a little bit. And I think moving forward, more of that price direction will be impacted by U.S. capacity, refining capacity for all the stuff that's coming in from Southeast Asia. Pretty tight. So I'm guessing that, yes, we have hit those price lows and we'll move higher from here, at least in the short term.
Okay. What do you got for me?
All right. Okay. So staying with the sugar theme here.
All right.
So for anybody who's been watching the re-export credit market, notice that the spread between the 11 and 16 has been pretty wide.
Yep.
And that's been a good thing for sure. So the question is, do you expect that to continue into 2018?
Mm. Oh, boy. I'm going to say yes. And just thinking it through, number 11 market, we're expecting a global surplus coming into the next season. But I think potentially that could creep up a little bit in the next couple months until Brazil gets started in April. But I anticipate 11s to stay at similar, if not slightly lower levels, not by much. The other side of that, the number 16, boy, I'll tell you, like I mentioned just a second ago, you're really at a soft floor for Mexico bringing sugar in. And if you go below 2675 or below, you're pricing out Mexican raws. So I anticipate it staying right in that range. So yeah, let's keep with heavy, great values for re-export.
I'm sure a lot of people love to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. How about, I got one for you. Okay. I'm going to go weather on you here in La Nina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Okay.
Are we going to have a La Nina this year?
I will say, well, you know what? I'm paying attention to every word here. Are we going to have a La Nina this year? We may start to see it in the next couple of months. Arguably, we are seeing a little bit of it. I think it picks up at the beginning of next year. But then the bigger question is, will that have an impact on production? Mm. And at this point, I'm going to go with a no. It will not have a major impact on South American production. until early next year.
Okay.
You like that? You see, I got both answers in there. You see did. That? That was kind of a yes and a typical meteorologist, you know?
Yeah, it depends.
It depends. It depends. And you pose this question to me again in a week, and I'll give you a totally different answer.
That sounds good. Well, so I was balancing it because my Coco answer really depended upon whether you were going to say yes or no. Because as you know, La Nina is very good for Coco production, and El Nino is bad, so...
Exactly. Right. Okay.
Let's one more. Give me a good one.
This is a good one. Again, we're talking about sugar.
Okay.
But this is a good one. Will Mexico have enough sugar to meet their quota to the U.S. for 17-18?
Mexico. Yes. Yeah, I think they will. I mean, I think you saw a recent adjustment in the acreage down there, and in turn, that'll help with production estimates. The big question is, you know, I guess I would say yes under the current USDA supply and demand estimates and what is given to Mexico right now. Absolutely. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that should reassure a few folks too.
Yeah, that should help. I mean, obviously, cane has been tight for quite some time, so...
Good news on a Friday. This is good.
Well, that was
you know,
fun.
Sometimes these things are a little doom and gloom, but yeah, I like that. Different.
Yeah, we took a podcast going into this, like, what are we going to talk about, to something that was kind of fun. So thank you, Nicole. That was really good.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, thanks, Mike.
Great. Well, that wraps us up for this week. And be sure to check us out next week. And also, if you guys have any other questions or anything, you guys know where to reach us. LinkedIn, website, or just call us. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.